Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Thursday afternoon, January 23rd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. We have mostly sunny skies, 19 degrees right now in Chicago, with temperatures settling around 20 later this afternoon. But the AccuWeather Real Feel temperatures will be in the single digits all day. But a warm-up is on the way. The details in the complete forecast from AccuWeather coming up in just a couple of minutes. The markets are mixed this afternoon. Let's get the latest now on trading from Bloomberg and Nancy Lyons.
That's right, Rob. The Dow is up 344 points. The S&P has gained about 12, but the NASDAQ is down 54 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up 0.4%. Investors tuned in to President Trump's remarks today at the World Economic Forum. They were hoping to gain insight into his trade policies. Trump demanded interest rates drop immediately. He asked OPEC to bring down the price of oil. And he warned companies that if they do not make their product in the Americas, in America, they will have to pay a tariff. He says the amount of that tariff will vary. Back to you, Rob.
Thanks, Nancy. We'll check in with you at 12:23. Home deed theft is a potential threat to your property. We'll discuss how you can protect yourself in our next segment. But right now, the growth of artificial intelligence is changing the way workforces are being managed. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor of the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And this is a pretty forward-thinking and bold statement from the CEO of Salesforce, one of the muckety-mucks, I think that's the technical term, speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, and saying that today's CEOs are the last generation to manage all human workforces, and that the boss of the future will also have to ask AI about the big game in the not-too-distant future.
That's exactly right. Actually, you know what? I think he's a little behind. To be perfectly honest, I think that the all, you know, human workforce is actually maybe in some ways, at least in my limited experience running a small business and certainly covering business as a journalist, I can tell you that a whole bunch of human beings are beginning to either have to change their jobs or not be there anymore. That said, his view of this, his future view of this is definitely colored by how fast AI is learning. And so as we make this transition, I just want to put it in perspective. If, you know, I think the listeners would probably appreciate it. They basically created some of the smartest humans in the world are struggling to create tests now that AI systems can't pass. In other words, AI systems are getting so good at the tests, SAT caliber and so forth, GMAT tests and so forth, that they actually have run out of ways to ask them questions. And the only, I don't want to spend too much time, you know, here, but I do want to read one test question. And here it is. And this is something that AI had no problem with. Hummingbirds within apodiformes uniquely have bilaterally paired oval bone, a sesamoid embedded in the caudal lateral portion of the expanded cruciate, aponeurosis of insertion, et cetera, et cetera. Answer with a number. How many paired tendons are supported by this sesamoid bone? Okay. Now, of course, that sounds like complete, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but it does make a heck of a lot of sense to anybody who's studied this highly narrow subject, meaning that AI had no problem with answering with that number. By the way, 9.
Oh, come on. That's easy. Give me another one.
I know. Okay. Maybe a little later, but maybe after this call. However, all I can tell you is that this level of speed and intelligence on the part of AI is no longer testable by human beings, in that the human beings can't stump AI's increasingly intelligent models. Result, if you're talking about CEOs running a company, well, you have a choice. Somebody who's a little late for work or somebody who's never not working. And the never not working is AI. So it's a huge transition that's about to happen. And it's more than just managing personalities. It's managing efficacy? How powerful is your model? What are you planning to do? And so forth. A lot of that's going to depend on a machine, not a person.
Now, this is a question for another time, but very quickly, if you can answer this for me, and that is, what is the difference between a CEO today saying that AI is going to be a component that a manager needs to address, and how does that differ from every computer at every desk in this office is going to have a computer saying that at some sort of conference in 1978.
The challenge for the CEO, as far as most people examining this whole world can tell, is that the decision making, the biggest change here is that a lot of CEOs, the really good ones, are the ones who trust their workforce. They're the ones who defer to folks who are spending their hours and days on a subject that serves the broader need of the company. Fine. But right now, that monitoring is happening between human beings. And so the challenge here is not looking at systems that that are going to be removing some jobs and replacing some jobs. The problem is, how do you manage systems that already have the answer? And by the way, how do you manage systems now that you know you can, in some ways, pull levers, make things happen? When I say pull levers, I mean in terms of personnel, make things happen without consulting anyone. And the biggest challenge then is, how do you manage machines? When I say that, I mean, how do you decide whether or not machines are performing the task you wanted them to? As you well know, and we've talked about it, you and I before, AI has hallucinations. It doesn't always give you the right answer and so forth. So the biggest challenge right now is, it's no longer a phone call. It's now deciding whether or not a machine that's smarter than you are is making decisions that are good for your company.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Deed fraud is a type of identity theft in which a criminal identifies a home to target and then takes steps to obtain the title, usually with the intention of selling it. We're joined by Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. Now, there have been a number of commercials on this radio station and others over the years offering products to protect you from home title theft, saying it's one of the most common forms of fraud. What is home title theft, and how prevalent is it in the world of scams?
Yeah, it's those scary ads that you see, and it's like the, oh my God, press the scary button, the sky is falling, and it's something that I think is really the scare tactic that is out there, and it's something that is really, really hard to do, but it is something that it can happen, and it is happening, but it's not as often, and it's not as common as people think. So it's not something that I think we need to push a panic button on, but it is certainly something that we can talk about. It's certainly something that there are ways to avoid it, and there's things that we can talk about to, put some thoughts and protections into place.
Well, the question is, I don't know if this is related to it or one way in which scammers can search public records about your home, but I think anybody who's refied or taken out a home equity line of credit, or maybe done the paperwork for a home equity loan, knows once that thing closes, you get a number of solicitations in the mail from any organization saying, protect your brand, protect your transaction now. So clearly people are monitoring what's going on with your home. And is that related to home title fraud? Is that one way in which scammers can pounce? And what are some ways you can protect yourself?
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, those type things are public record, and we know that. And so, typically, if you've done a refinance, if you've just bought a home, you're going to get something that's called a policy. You get an owner's policy, and a lender gets a loan policy, and that owner's policy is protecting you right out of the gate. It's protecting you from, everything that has happened on that house going backwards. And so if there are any kind of claims, any kind of liens, if the deed has, if there's any, forgeries or fraudulent deeds that have been transferred to make that property not be transferred correctly, you're covered. But, it also covers you to a degree going forward if anything happens too. There are extended coverage policies, so you might want to take a look and make sure that you've got a title policy that covers you, and reading that will also help too. But there are many things that you guys can do, and you certainly checking the public records to make sure that you know, the deed that was recorded putting you in title is still there. That's still something you can do in going on the public records to make sure. But this isn't happening to the, you know, typical homeowner. This is happening more to the elderly folks because, you know, they're not as tech savvy. This is happening on vacation homes. This is happening on, you know, the vacant homes. People, you know, if people die, those homes that are sitting vacant and like the heirs are owning it. So those are properties that are sitting out there. So they're preying on those folks as well.
And then what, to borrow a phrase from the Better Business Bureau, what's the tip off to the ripoff? How do you know that you have been scammed?
Well, a couple few things will let you know that. I mean, you all of a sudden are not getting your mortgage payment is not coming to you anymore. It's, you know, it's all of a sudden in a different name. Your tax bill is all of a sudden in a different name. If you're renting or if you're collecting rents, it's no longer, you know, you're no longer receiving those rents. If you are your utility bills are no longer coming to you, there are those type things that you can see, you know, immediately that are happening. You know, you get a notice of foreclosure, you all of a sudden go, wait, wait a minute, what happened here? I've been paying my mortgage, and you know, so somebody could have forged your name and is taking the equity out of your home and has, you know, maybe sold it without you even knowing it. So you have the ability yourself to protect that by simply going online to the Cook County Recorder of Deed or whatever county you're in and searching your property index number to find out if your deed is still in your name or is in the trust that you put it in. And if it's not, immediately, you know, contact the title company, contact your attorney, and, you know, find this out. You can also find this out through doing your searches through the credit bureaus, making sure that your identity hasn't been captured as well.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
You've done everything right. You got the retirement taken care of. You saved up. You can live the life you want. And then all of a sudden you discover you're in your spouse's way. And that leads to a whole new raft of problems. Joining us to help us untangle this knot is Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. And one element of that healthy retirement, Chris, is time management, because the first time in decades, your schedule and your lovey's schedule, they've changed radically, and that could be the most difficult part of retiring.
It really is, and I often ask my clients that are approaching retirement, not at retirement, but approaching, how are they going to handle that? So we start having that conversation as soon as we can, simply because everything changes. Your schedule, all of a sudden you can pretty much do whatever you want to do, but if you don't know what that is, it could lead you into the retirement blues, or you could be underneath each other's feet too often. So
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you have a kind of relationship where you've always worked together on projects, you'll be fine most generally. But if you've not, you need to get something to fulfill that space.
And when you say not, I mean, it sounds like you're talking about a couple, instead of ships passing in the night, they are ships passing during business hours, and that could be a very difficult transition.
Well, maybe business hours, maybe not, but there are couples that are very aligned with one another, and they have outside interest. aside from just their regular income generating job. And so they can pursue those with more effort, have more time together to do that. But if you've not developed that as a couple, then I encourage you to sit down and really begin to look at how you will spend your time in retirement together. So it doesn't drive you apart, but it can drive you together. It's one thing to be underneath someone's feet because you don't have anything to do that's fulfilling. It's another thing to be in alignment with one another and working toward a common goal.
And this is part of the journey, and you got to figure this out because we're living longer. So if you retire at the target date of 65, you're going to be retired together for the next 30 years, if the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise.
That's true. It's absolutely true. So one of the tools that we use is a communication profile that helps our clients understand who they really are and what's important to them, how they process information, how they manage change, how they face risk, and how they problem solve. And once you have this subset of information about each other, it can be revelatory and certainly great date night fodder.
Yeah, well, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Have that conversation then. Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, thank you for joining us today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. An internal probe into the actions of a Chicago police officer during a racial justice protest has concluded. Southern California dealing with new wildfires today. In Technology Thursday, a leading-edge tool is helping fire departments train personnel. And the fitness industry has emerged from the pandemic with great momentum. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is up 354 points. The NASDAQ is down 31. The S&P 500 is up 16. We have 19 degrees right now in Chicago. Under mostly sunny skies, it's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, a Chicago police officer is facing only a reprimand following an investigation into his wearing of a mask linked with extremist groups while patrolling a racial justice protest in 2020. City Inspector General Deborah Witzberg tells the Sun-Times there are questions about whether enough is being done to identify and eliminate extremism in law enforcement. Officer Kyle Mangari was photographed wearing the mask bearing the logo of the Three Percenters militia group. He says he believed it was merely a pro-military and pro-police symbol. New wildfires are breaking out in the Los Angeles area. They include what's dubbed the Hughes Fire, which threatens the community of Castaic. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Fire crews overnight battling really an incredible effort stopping those flames from reaching neighborhoods. Not a single structure has been reported damaged, but you still have at least 30,000 people under mandatory evacuation orders, and we watched yesterday as many of them scrambled to flee to safety.
The fire has now burned more than 10,000 acres and stands at 14% contained. The windy conditions that are fueling the blaze are expected to continue throughout the afternoon. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed right now. We welcome in Ken Crawford, portfolio manager of Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Ken, thank you for joining us today. And after a roaring start to the week, it seems like the NASDAQ is pausing to take its breath.
Yeah, Rob, I think that's what we're seeing. I think part of that, to your point, is we've had a pretty robust beginning of the year. And then next week, we're going to have a lot of big tech companies reporting. So I wouldn't be surprised that investors are taking a step back, at least for today, waiting for those numbers to flow in next week.
And then how is earnings season going so far? Because we have a couple of reports before the bell today, including two giants in transportation.
Earnings in general have been good. Financials, which generally start the earnings season, have been at least okay, banks in particular. And then to your point, GE up nicely today. So the old economy seems to be doing a little bit better today than tech and the newer economy.
And then we do have, I mentioned those transportation names, and maybe they do report after today, American Airlines and Union Pacific, the railroad, two bellwethers on two sides of the economy. American, of course, a good check for the health of the consumer. If consumers are feeling pretty healthy, they feel like they want it to, you know, they can spend money on taking going on vacation. And of course, when it comes to the UP and other railroads, that's a good gauge of just economic activity overall. How much are you shipping from ports in California and on the West Coast to the rest of the country?
That's right. And what we've been seeing, and I think it's been a narrative that's gone on for a while, is we've seen inflation kind of come down and maybe be sticky of late. So what is the Fed going to do? And part of that stickiness is that the economy generally is doing well. So to your point, Union Pacific moving stuff that where industrial companies make things that we buy. So the economy in general is doing reasonably well. American, a little bit of an outlier, but Alaska Air is having a good day today. So I think when consumers have money, to your point, they're buying plane tickets and they're getting on planes. And that is helping GE because with Boeing's issues of production, older planes are in the mix and older planes need to be maintained. And when they come in for maintenance, GE and TransDigm and other equipment suppliers are quite happy to see that.
And then it seems like the markets have been shrugging off all of the tariff discussion that has been coming out of the new administration in Washington.
At least so far, yeah, I agree. I think the markets have been generally enthused with the belief that there will be less regulation, and also some of the activities that the Trump administration has trumpeted, like the $500 billion Stargate, have people thinking that the Trump administration will be much more pro-business than what the Biden administration had been.
Ken Crawford, Portfolio Manager, Argent Capital in Clayton, Missouri. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, the new role of virtual reality in training firefighters.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. Virtual reality firefighter training immerses its users in emergency scenarios. Let's learn more from Matt Wren, tech expert and founder, VRAR Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And this is especially timely given the ongoing wildfires that are taking place in and around Los Angeles. And I would imagine that when we talk about VR firefighter training, that wildfires are one of the scenarios that could be recreated using virtual reality.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back, Rob. So when you start to think about the real value of virtual reality for training emergency services, firefighters in particular, let's face it, a firefighter's job is dangerous. There's a lot of hazards there. And when you start talking about some of the benefits of VR, one of the biggest benefits is you can place somebody into an immersive environment, frankly, something that is very dangerous and will replicate training in a real dangerous environment. It'll get their heart rate up. It'll give them that pressure of being in an actual situation where there's danger, but you're not actually putting them in any physical danger. So that's one of the real benefits that the technology can provide.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably an upper limit to what you can do during a training exercise for a firefighter, whether it is a Chicago firefighter or somebody who works for Cal Fire out in the West Coast or somebody who is trained in emergency response. Like, for example, Matt, and we get this call every Wednesday when they have the plane crash training at O'Hare and they set the sample aircraft on fire and everybody can see the black smoke from the expressways around the airport. That is a firefighter training exercise where they actually set something on fire. But there is only so much that you can set on fire. And as you said, keep the firefighter trainees safe during the exercise.
Right. There's a couple factors that you want to talk about there. Number one, they're setting this thing on fire. They're actually lighting something on fire. They are putting, you know, smoke and particulates and pollution up into the atmosphere to do this. So that's one factor that you have to consider. So with what we'll call simulation training, real world simulation training, like setting a plane on fire. On top of that, there's only so many firefighters that they can train in a day in doing that. And all of those firefighters have to be transported to where that fire is being set. With virtual reality, you can create that same environment. You can create variations on the scenario, and you can let trainees go through, you know, dozens of different scenarios very quickly, very easily, without having to worry about the actual physical materials involved or the cost of, you know, burning a simulated plane or transporting people to and from it, because it all can exist on a virtual reality headset. It's a great way to scale the training and make it more, essentially more cost effective, and at the same time, less, you know, less dangerous and less damaging to actual physical world.
We're talking about virtual reality firefighter training with Matt Wren, tech expert and founder of VRAR Chicago. Now, is there any indication or any research on results yet in how this improves outcomes, or at the very least improves preparation by putting firefighters virtually inside, for lack of a better term, the no-win scenario, to see if they can actually if they can apply these lessons in the real world?
I mean, the results around virtual reality training and augmented reality training in general are very, very positive. You see, you know, when it comes down to it, there's the things that you can measure are how long does it take somebody to learn how to do a procedure? How long can they retain that information? And all of the studies of retention and what we'll call time to proficiency, they show great improvement when you're comparing virtual reality with things like, you know, a PowerPoint or watching a video. Obviously, being able to do those actual physical simulations is, you know, as good or better. But again, how many times can somebody do that? So, you know, as an example, previously did some work with military training. It cost $1 million a day to run 15 people through this one set of scenarios. And we could do the same experience 12 times an hour using augmented reality and virtual reality. So, you know, when you start to think about the comparison, it really comes down to how, you know, muscle memory comes from repetition, and VR really enables that repetition.
Matt Wren, tech expert and founder, VRAR Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the fitness industry finds itself on a roll.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The latest data shows the fitness industry is in a growth spurt. Let's get up to speed with RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, thank you for joining us today. It's not a surprise, RJ, that trips to the gym really take off in the month of January as people try to adopt New Year's resolutions. But there's new numbers that suggest that the typical February and beyond drop-off doesn't exist. This is actually kind of sticky.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think this has been one of the more interesting revelations coming out of the pandemic, that consumer behavior around gyms has changed. And you're exactly right. In the past, historically, a gym would see the biggest spike in new members in January, but probably lose about a third to almost 40% of those in a given year. But really, since 2020, what we've seen is that attrition curve, the amount of members leaving the gym in a given year, is really stabled out. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. One, we've seen a rise of kind of these lower price, high value clubs like a Planet Fitness. You know, $10 or $15 monthly fees that are more affordable for most customers and a lot more flexible in terms of the month-to-month membership. We've also seen a lot of the chains start to integrate digital technologies, seeing that, you know, at home sometimes is more convenient. So they found ways for their members to not only partake in classes and activities at the club, but also work out at home. And I think, you know, because of these two trends, we've also seen it's a younger base that's come in, and, you know, younger customers, you know, anywhere between 18 and 25 generally are more frequent in terms of working out, typically 5 to 6 times a month versus historically about 4 to 5 times. So I think there's a lot of factors that are playing into kind of that stability that we're seeing in the fitness club industry right now.
Now, 4 years ago, when some gyms were still closed because of COVID-19, we were talking about how Peloton was the future, and everybody was working out at home. And it was such a big deal and to such a degree that one of the Peloton instructors was a celebrity on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, that was the deal. That was the extent of its brand penetration. Is there a possibility, though, that maybe all those people who picked up the habit on their Peloton during during COVID are now doing it in real life and with other people because they just like the sense of community.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think we found that's a really powerful driver of visitation trends, not only in the fitness club space, but across a broader retail and restaurant environment, is a sense of community. And that was one of the major themes that we saw shine through in 2024, is this idea of a third place and people wanting somewhere outside of home and work, especially, you know, in this day and age of hybrid work. People just want another place to congregate. And a lot of times fitness clubs are filling that hole in a lot of consumers' lives right now. So I think that's been a big part of what we've seen. The other big trend that's kind of taking place is, 2025 is shaping up to be a year of reinvention. There's a lot of discussion about weight loss drugs and more focus on health and wellness in 2024. And as we kind of got through the year, we started seeing evidence of people going to apparel stores for new outfits, going to fitness clubs to kind of keep that weight loss journey going. And, health and beauty or beauty and wellness concepts and retailers also did very well. And I think we're starting to see a bit of that too play out too, is that I think that's certainly a tailwind as opposed to a headwind for a lot of the fitness clubs. People want to continue that journey if they've lost some weight with some of these new drugs and other things that are out there. So I think it's been interesting to watch, and it's an exciting time for a lot of the fitness clubs.
RJ Hadavy, head of analytical research at Placer AI, thank you for joining us today.
WBBM.
Thanks for joining us for the Noon Business Hour. Be sure to listen to News Radio 105.9 throughout the day at 23 and 53 past the hour as we continue following the news that affects your money.